single take for Corky. Really gonna get it right. Jazz. One single take for Corky. Sorry. You know, I tried to fake it. Hi, everyone. This is Dan Barnes. And I know you're expecting me to open with a big, splashy Busby Berkeley style musical number with just thousands of dancers and the fountains and the water ballet and the whole thing. I'm afraid I no longer have a song in my heart. Songs out of my heart. It was surgically removed. It's all fine. Outpatient basis. I feel great. Actually, thank you. But I do no longer have a song in my heart, which is actually a pretty good headspace to be in for the two movies I'm going to be reviewing on this little mini episode. I gotta get this cat off my lap. We got a couple of barn burners this week, a couple of titty twisters, a couple of steeple chasers. You know, when Predator is the feel good movie of the week, that's a tough week. That's a bit of, you're not doing a lot of skipping in the meadows with the, you know, the daisies and the hummingbirds flittering about singing. Less of that. Slightly less of that. You know, I've been doing these kind of new movie reviews more often this year, reviewing almost exclusively. We review pretty much all old classic movies on the Cannon Fodder podcast. I think we've only done a couple from the 21st century even. But every now and then I like to, you know, get out there, put my ear to the streets, you know, really just reconnect with the people, put on my stethoscope, just get a little checkup on the movies, look down the throat, get the heartbeat, test the reflexes, the whole thing. So I'm going to review two movies this week. It'll be Dan Trachtenberg's Predator : Badlands with Elle Fanning, and the real emotional scorcher of the week, Lynn Ramsey's Die My Love with Jennifer Lawrence and Robert Pattinson. They're both opening this weekend. Badlands in wide release, Die My Love in select markets. Was your market selected? We may never know. So I'm going to flip a coin to see who goes first. I once again forgot to bring a coin, so I'm going to pretend to flip a coin, pretend that it is Tails, and pretend that Tails is tied to Die My Love. So let's start right there. Lynn Ramsey's Die My Love. It debuted at Cannes, opening this Friday, November 7th, in Bay Area theaters. Hopefully expanding soon to the Sacramento area. This is Ramsey's first film in 8 years, since 2017, with You Were Never Really Here, starring Joaquin Phoenix. She's a Scottish director. She's known for making really visceral, tactile, often shocking films. Speaking of Cannon Fodder, her Morvern Kalar with Samantha Morton is on the Sight and Sound Top 250, so we'll probably get to that eventually. And you might also know her from We Need to Talk About Kevin with Tilda Swinton, Ratcatcher, which was an early film of hers. IMDb synopsis of Die My Love. Grace, a writer and young mother, is slowly slipping into madness. It's not that slow. I'll just say pause in the IMDb. It's not slow. Not slowly at all. Locked away in an old house in and around Montana, we see her acting increasingly agitated and erratic, leaving her companion, Jackson, increasingly worried and helpless. Die My Love, a good and I think important reminder for me and you know, for all of us, really, to never, ever bear children, get married, have sex, be in a relationship, talk to people at parties, or leave the house ever. You know, I think we sometimes stray from that ethic and think, oh, you know, wouldn't it be nice to be vulnerable and connect with people? And along comes Lynn Ramsey to say, no, it would not. Based on a 2012 novel by Arianna Horwitz, the film stars Jennifer Lawrence and Robert Pattinson as a young couple who moved to a remote location in Montana. Is there any other kind? That's all it is remote locations, right? Where her postpartum depression and his just general male uselessness speedily, not slowly, drive their household towards a scary psychosis. This is Lawrence's show, and she delivers another museum-ready showpiece. Performance. She's once again playing a troubled young mother, And her work is stunning. It's fantastic. Fearless, exposed, raw, real, unreal, supernatural. It's really powerful, potent stuff. But to my eyes and ears, I don't know to what end. It's sort of this amazing performance in a bit of a vacuum. I've really liked Ramsey's work in the past, but this film, Die My Love, it felt to me mostly like grotesque, weird, and out there for the sake of being grotesque, weird, and out there. And I like grotesque, weird, and out there, so that's not a knock on it, but it is the kind of film, I'll just tell you right away, where as soon as a scruffy little dog shows up, and it's right away, you're like, okay, like how long until that dog meets the most pointlessly horrible end that you could imagine? And it's, trust me, it happens. To me, all of this is nothing that Ramsey hasn't done better in the past, and nothing that Jennifer Lawrence hasn't done better in the past. I don't really feel anything but contempt for the characters, which I assume is by design. Everyone's kind of overacting to a degree that feels very mannered to me. Of course, there's a lot of just like wild crawling on the ground and self-harm and wild dancing and things like that. But again, I just, to what end? To what? It's extreme, but the Insane Clown Posse is extreme in their own way, right? Like that's not, extremity is not an, extremeness is not a recommendation in and of itself. The kind of interesting part of this movie to me is that as much as it's about postpartum depression, and you sort of expect some sort of a semi-indictment of the child, like the baby's always screaming, or it's always sick, or it's always doing something, or it's this, you know, creepy, we need to talk about Kevin style little kid where you're like, he's a weird demon seed. No, to paraphrase Lawrence's character, she says, the baby's perfect. It's everything else that's completely fucked up. But like, that's an interesting like spin. But I didn't really care that much about it. And the characters are pretty much just monumental duds. But again, they are just monumental duds. That's what they are. That's not like I'm, you know, exposing something. They're obviously just duds. And I don't know if we're meant to assume that she was lovely and pure and full of life in some previous life or some other world, but because she's kind of a low-key monster from just the opening minutes on. So I don't know. To me, it was interesting, but more in my head, more just theoretically interesting and not actually interesting. So overall, I have to say the movie's disappointing. Worth a look if you want to see Lawrence. Absolutely go for broke, but be warned, you'll also be treated to Lynn Ramsey herself performing what sounded to me like a pretty darn dreadful toxin cover of Joy Division's Love Will Tear Us Apart over the end of credits. And it's jaw-dropping in its way. Speaking of which, this has nothing to do with nothing. And if Corky was editing this, we'd probably cut it out. But it is interesting. I just watched The Materialist like the day before I watched this movie, and they both make very conspicuous use of the song In Spite of Ourselves by Iris DeMent and John Prine. I thought that was really weird, deja vu-y type stuff going on. But anyway, that's Die My Love, again, a film that I found a little bit disappointing. So next we'll move on to Predator: Badlands. This is directed by Dan Trachtenberg, stars Elle Fanning. IMDb synopsis: a young predator outcast from his clan finds an unlikely ally on his journey in search of the ultimate adversary. This is actually Dan Trachtenberg's third Predator movie since 2022, and his second this year. He made Prey back in 2022, and earlier this year he co-directed the animated feature Predator: Killer of Killers. And I liked both films. I just think it's really interesting. It took 23 years to make the first three Predator movies, and now it's like they're coming faster and furiouser than ever. Well, faster, at least. But we'll get into that. With Killer and Killers and now Badlands, Trachtenberg has kind of opened up the Predator universe, expanded the culture and the mythology. In all the previous films, we pretty much just see them as hunters on other planets. Now we know the predators are the Yautja, a whatever the Yautja call a phallus-centric warrior clan from a distant universe. As the film opens, our hero, Deck, who is considered the runt of his family's clan, escapes a culling ordered by his father and his brother. So there's all of this, like, you know, kind of Shakespearean you know, father, you know, treachery and all the sons and all this other kind of stuff. So as the film opens, he escapes this and travels to the environmentally hostile planet of Jenna, where he hopes to restore his reputation by killing an apex predator called the Kalisk. This will all make sense, you know, when you see it. It is stupid when I talk about it, but it'll all make sense. Trachtenberg, in addition to kind of opening it up, they're also kind of bringing it back full semicircle to the Alien universe. They're reconnecting Predator universe and Alien universe. Because Deck, when he arrives on the planet, he is saved by a damaged Weyland-Yutani synthetic named Thea, played very well by Elle Fanning. Weyland-Yutani also wants the Kalisk, this unkillable apex predator, because nothing's ever gone wrong with Weyland-Yutani transporting apex predators through space. This will not go tits up. No way. How could it fail? But that puts them right in the path of Deck and this surrogate family that he's built on the planet. Going back to Alien, they even have like a supersized version of the forklift suit from Aliens, although we've already seen supersized versions of the forklift suit from Aliens and Avatar and Matrix Revolutions and other movies. So it's not really as cool as it should probably be. But as I said, yeah, surrogate family. Surrogate family? Wait, what? Predator? Surrogate family? Yeah, even our Predator movies nowadays need some kind of pandering message about patriarchal culture. Not that I like patriarchal culture or anything, but Jesus Christ, we get it. Oh, and then, of course, there's the obligatory ecological message about living in harmony with the natural environment, because Deck starts using all these planets' hostile flora and fauna to his advantage to get back at the Weyland-Yutani synths. True to the song, Deck does live it every day. He does keep pushing until it's understood, and the Badlands do indeed start treating him good. All of this silly messaging, it doesn't distract from the fun of Badlands, and some of these eye-rolling, you know, box-checking aside, this is mostly a nonstop chase and fight movie, and it's pretty entertaining most of the way. My issues are really more with inconsistent creature design and special effects. The Predator, the Yautja makeup, that all looks good. The design, it's mostly done with special effects, not makeup. But they give Deck and the other Yautja these really expressive eyes that like kind of befit the status as now being like the emotional centers of the film. However, some of the creatures they encounter, the Kalisks especially, just feel like they've been transported in from some other franchise. They're so cutesy, they're so cartoonish, they don't feel tactile at all. It just feels very like... The film is PG-13, so obviously they're trying to expand the audience, and a lot of these choices feel very pandering. I mean, toning down the violence to an extent, yeah, that makes sense, but some of these other choices feel very pandering to me. Like, they've taken this once proudly hard R franchise and injected it with a dose of YA pap. Kids ruin everything. Shared message of the two films. If you want to find a through line, there it is. But overall, it's a pretty fun movie, and if you liked Prey and you liked Killers, you'll probably like this one as well. So that's it. A sort of tepid recommendation and a tepid condemnation. Tepid recommendation for Predator : Badlands and a tepid condemnation for Lynn Ramsey's Die My Love, which see that for Jennifer Lawrence's earth-scorching performance. And not so much for the screenplay and direction, which aren't so good. Join us next week when we will review a film that I think is pretty darn great, which is Agnes Varda's 1985 film Vagabond, starring Sandrine Bonnaire, yet another of the picks from the Sight and Sound poll of the best films ever made. That's it. That's all I got for you. Go out into your Predator verses and live in harmony. And we'll talk to, that's what Jibble says. Talk to you next week.